This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Let's talk some Chiefs football with Joshua Briscoe. He, of course, will be on pre- and post-game coverage right here on the Chiefs Radio Network on 96.5 The Fan. Briscoe, I was giving you a hard time earlier. I said, we can't let you drop to 0-2, man. We can't let you go two games under 500.
Hey, I appreciate you not counting the preseason, because if you want to go ahead and put those in my official scoring column, it's even worse.
Are the Chiefs ever going to win a game again, Josh? I mean, people are asking. They've now lost, including, this would be the first time ever in Patrick Mahomes' career they've lost three games in a row. Now, we can set aside for a minute that's ludicrous, right, and that no other quarterback on the planet is held to the standard of the idea that they can never lose three games in a row. But, I mean, it does. That's a weird feeling. This is a weird place for Chiefs fans.
Well, and the thing that I've already accepted, maybe this has given me some zen, and it's crazy. I'm like, hey, guys, they could lose a lot more games, and it still would be fine. But I really did do this kind of going through the scheduling, thinking, well, they could legitimately just, I won't go game by game, but you can look at the schedule, and you can probably fill in the blanks here. They could be 4-5. They could be below 500 halfway through the season and end the season 12-5. Like, the back half of the schedule is a little bit softer, and you presume you've got Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Obviously, Worthy's timeline looks good after practicing yesterday, but I could see this team. Also, when you think about where the issues were defensively, where, like, Jaden Hicks looks out of sorts. It's his first game in his second year. Like, I really do think there will be things that are significantly and obviously better on both sides of the ball halfway through the season. So it would not be any fun at all to start this season off 0-2. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion for what that's worth. And you don't want to be going to New York for the Giants on Sunday Night Football saying, okay, well, this is a must-win game against Russell Wilson's squad. But I really do have a little bit of zen for now. I think I've learned the lessons of recent Chiefs years, and specifically what's gone wrong so far, I think is relatively obvious. The pass rush to me is the one thing that I'm probably going to be concerned about all the way until hopefully February.
Let's get one thing out of the way just beginning, because I know people are probably thinking it today. Briscoe, you see Worthy practice yesterday, limited in practice. It's obviously a great sign that this is not going to be probably a month-plus-long injury like everybody was fearful of. But there's no way he's playing Sunday, right?
Truthfully, I don't know any more than you do. So I would be pretty surprised if he played. Running around on the field in practice is very, very different than getting hit, getting tackled, falling on that shoulder. So I'd still be pretty surprised. And our mutual friend Nate Taylor made it sound like next week against the Giants is probably the most likely landing spot for Worthy's return, which would already be great. I was really concerned about a much longer absence, you know, the moment he got hurt and kind of the couple days following. So it's a great sign that he's out there. It also, to me, indicates that he's not in that kind of, like, no man's land between surgery and bracing it up, because that's scary, because you just don't know which direction that's going to ultimately send you. But I think you have to feel good about Worthy, and I would assume that he's not on the field on Sunday against the Eagles.
What would you say? So, like, you know, it's easy to point out all the things they did wrong. The pass rush, the secondary, the lack of coverage skill, et cetera, right? The list was pretty lengthy for that game last Friday. Those final five possessions for the Chiefs offensively that they scored, what did you see in those that you think is repeatable, right? Mm-hmm. Because they did score in their final five possessions, which I think is a little bit lost because they were so far behind for so long in that game. But what did you see there that they can repeat?
The most obvious thing that they did there was Patrick Mahomes. Like, the end of sentence,
he
end
exists.
Of evaluation. He's there, and he did the thing that we see him do all the time down the stretch. We see it in the playoffs where he looks around and he goes, well, I might as well run for 12 yards here. And he just, it's like a bag he's able to access. It feels like at the drop of a hat. You don't want to have to do that outside of the structure of the offense starting in week one. The couple of things in the passing game that I do think are repeatable are something that we could see continue even without Xavier Worthy. Tyquan Thornton was getting open, and he wasn't just getting open way late in the play. He wasn't just open on the target that Mahomes had and then the one that was a little bit out of sync. There were several times where I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Matt Nagy probably looked at the tape this week and went, okay. No, I mean, Tyquan was there several times. I don't need him to have, you know, eight targets just constantly chucking deep balls like I do playing college football on the PlayStation. But I do think that has to be a part of the offense that continues, that then does allow such a huge difference from the first couple targets for Hollywood Brown to the back half of the game. That's another sustainable thing, I think, where early on it was ugly. Like, I was afraid, thinking, oh man, Hollywood hasn't played a lot of football. You know, obviously, He missed the preseason. Is this going to be a rust situation, or are we on, like, washed watch here? And then ultimately, he has a much better second half, and I think you can point to his drop and him getting to the wrong spot by a little bit than where Mahomes expected him to be. You can point at those and say, yeah, that's a guy that was just getting his first live action in 7 months. So I think that the Thornton, Hollywood, Juju kind of combo where they have different roles at different levels in the offense, I do think that's something that the Chiefs can get by with for a little while. The running game just like not existing against the Chargers is the offensive thing that I kind of keep my eyebrows raised at, because they got to get something on the ground.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host on the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear him this Sunday afternoon right here on 96.5 The Fan. With the offense now having a whole week to know that they know one way or the other whether they're having Worthy or not, even if we don't for sure, so versus having a player drop out three plays in and having to alter your entire game plan, do you think we're just going to see more of, you know, the Noah Gray, Robert Tonyan, just more of these tight end sets? And Cody and I have been talking about, it feels like Noah Gray could have, you know, five targets in this game.
Yeah, it does, and I still kind of don't expect it, because I have expected that before. I have expected, like, okay, well, it makes sense here. Maybe you could solve a few issues at the same time by going a little more heavy and running, like, again, like just having Tonyan involved. He looked really good in the preseason. Clearly, they liked him enough to keep him around. Can you do something with two or three tight ends to kind of change the math on the defense a little bit, where if you end up going heavy defensively, then all right, we'll throw the ball to the tight ends. If you end up going light and respecting those tight ends as pass catchers, time to run the ball right at those guys, right behind Robert Tonyan or whoever ends up being out there. So I think that by necessity, you'd like to see the water rise for pretty much everybody. Nobody's going to get six or seven extra targets, I don't think, because Worthy is out, which I think Hollywood kind of did in week one. He's like, all right, man, you got to step in here. We have a game plan. We're just going to have to do it without the guy who was at the center of it in terms of the weapons. I would love to see them run a little more heavy, run a little more under center, give Isaiah Pacheco a few more cracks that way, while also continuing to have the offense built around the deep and intermediate passing game. If Noah Gray can be a guy that's helping you move the chains and you're hitting for some 6, 7, 8 yard gains here and there, I'm totally good with it. That seems like a role that he's really excelled in. But as a Noah Gray appreciator, every time it kind of seems like, oh, maybe his role is going to take a step up here, I don't know that it has, at least not statistically. He does a ton for the offense without getting a ton of those targets. So I will keep my eyes open on that. I really do think Noah Gray is a very valuable part of the offense, but I think if week one is any indication, at least, I think Hollywood, Juju, and Thornton, probably in that order, are the guys who are kind of under the biggest spotlight offensively.
Were Monday's comments from Andy Reid, were those pretty telling about where Christian Fulton is and how long it should be until we expect Shamari Conner to not be playing corner anymore?
So I'm going to go to what Spags said yesterday, because he was asked about Fulton and getting him involved in everything. And Spags said something like, Well, you know, it's a long season. You got to have 3, 4, 5 corners, which is the kind of thing that he said about Nazi Johnson and Joshua Williams. And you, when you just have to have depth at the position, he's right about that. But it did kind of put Fulton in that category as like, no, he's a depth guy who we'll have to rely on at some point. Like it could have been a question about Noel Williams, right? So, yeah, he's young, but we'll need to rely on him at some point. That's probably true. But they paid Christian Fulton to come in and be a number two corner on this team. Or, you know, if he's 3 behind Jalen Watson, that doesn't matter to me at all. Trent McDuffie is 1, and then Watson and Fulton, whatever the role is, that's great. But with the Shamari Connor thing in mind and all the Chiefs' issues over the middle of the field and covering the slot, to me, it seems like the most clear and obvious lever to pull, which isn't always the right one, I suppose, but the most clear and obvious lever to pull for me is you get Christian Fulton on the field 60%+ of the time. He and Watson are your outside corners. McDuffie goes into the slot, and then maybe Shamari Connor can do some more safety things that takes a little bit off of Jaden Hicks' plate after a rough game. Maybe you just give Connor a few plays off because we saw what happened against the Chargers. So Brian Cook's role could evolve a little bit. I know Spags loves the hard-hitting, versatile defensive backs, and that's served him very well. But yeah, I'd like to see a lot more Christian Fulton pretty soon. I think this Eagles team honestly ends up being a pretty good matchup for him and Watson to get more involved.
We can genuinely call this nitpicking because I understand just how good Steve Spagnuolo is at the job, how great he's been at the job, all the stuff that comes with it. My single biggest gripe with him the entire time he's been in Kansas City is an absolute refusal to occasionally play the more athletic player over the player who knows the defense more. I call this the Dan Sorensen triangle.
Yep.
And what I genuinely, like, sometimes I'm just like, no, play the better player, as in the more athletic player, because I feel like if you make more mistakes in the field, sometimes you can make up for it with athleticism or just savviness, whatever it is, right, versus the guy who knows where he's supposed to be. We run into this, I feel like, with one or two players a year where I'm like, why aren't you playing that guy more? And it seems to come down, Briscoe, to the guy who knows the defense better, and they can't shake that.
Right, so that, I'm with you, which is exactly what makes the Shamari Connor thing kind of crazy, because he is the best athlete. He is the guy that's flying around and, you know, make a mistake, but make it fast. That's the Shamari Connor experience a lot of the times, and Jaden Hicks, again, is getting a little baptism by fire after being really good the back half of last season. He's a guy where you're like, I think Spags is trusting that he knows the defense, but he's still very young in it. So I am completely with you on what Spags' track record has been. It feels like we're seeing the opposite of that right now. Again, it's very, very early. We're 1 week into this thing, and I think giving Hicks the lumps to be a more confident player in the back half of the year is probably right. But then, yes, with Fulton, I know he wasn't out there in camp, and so maybe he didn't get all of the things that Spags wanted him to get. Maybe he just didn't get to put it down on reps on the field in a way that has Spags a little bit more gun-shy and saying, I will prefer to just leave Connor out there and shuffle things around that way. But I remember talking all offseason about how much I liked the Christian Fulton signing because it allowed you to put Trent McDuffie back at the spot where he is not only at his best, but where he is the most powerful weapon, where he can do so many things out of the slot there. So I really am a little bit curious still. Maybe in a week or two, this is a foregone conclusion and Fulton's back to the workload that his contract and his offseason standing would put him in at. But right now, it's quite strange.
We're talking to Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. We all know the comments yesterday from Matt Nagy certainly went around the water cooler, if you will, a little bit. We led our show talking about him saying in regards to the penalties for Juwan Taylor that, quote, that can't happen. We've made it loud and clear. And I think a lot of people said, well, he's been with the team since 2023. Why? What's the consequence going to be if you've made it loud and clear? I was telling Cody, and I think he kind of agreed, and it seems pretty simple. They have a legit backup this go-around, and it's also probably the last year. So what's the leash look like? If Juwan Taylor has another performance penalty-wise like he had against the Eagles, is that it? Or do you think Andy Reid, it's still a veteran here that they're going to give him 2-3-plus weeks?
Again, I think what I think happens is probably a little bit different from where I'm at right now, but I would think he's going to get a longer leash than Kingsley last year. But to your point there, this isn't a new phenomenon with Juwan Taylor. I think the Chiefs did the right thing by kind of standing by him as much as they did through the alignment and false start stuff, because some of that was week one nitpicky that kind of snowballed throughout the season. And I feel like, honestly, that got a little bit, they got blown out of proportion a little bit. The penalties were bad, but like I having them called is bad, but I think the actual process there was blown out of proportion. And he was also playing better football than go to last year when, yeah, of course, the penalties are still a problem, but I can absolutely promise everybody, benching Juwan Taylor would not have helped the offensive line last year. Like, we know the tackle issues that they already had, so that just wasn't really on the table. Now we get to a point where it's week one of a new season, and I know he's also, you know, had whatever's going on with his knee, and maybe that's hampering his actual play, but it's week one of the season. It was not a good game for him, I would think, without the penalties, and it's like holding is now getting in the mix, and he remains this incredibly highly penalized player, and Jalen Moore is right there, who got paid an amount of money that told you before obviously drafting Josh Simmons that the Chiefs were comfortable with Jalen Moore being their starting left tackle this year if that's how it shook out. So presumably they'd be fine with him as your starting right tackle. And almost all of training camp and all of the preseason, Jalen Moore was working in at right tackle. He wasn't working at right tackle and left guard. He wasn't working at right and left tackle. It was about getting him into the flow on the right side as Taylor was coming back from the knee, and maybe the Chiefs just thought that's the most likely injury spot, or we want to have a real contingency plan if the penalties and the play become issues for Taylor. Like you said, this is his last year in Kansas City in all likelihood. Jalen Moore's got a 2-year deal where if he's your starting right tackle next year, I think that's perfectly fine with him and Josh Simmons on the bookends. I think the ingredients are there for a change that they weren't in recent years. I would still guess it's going to be a little bit before that ends up making it to the starting lineup, but I think it's a lot more plausible than it has been.
Briscoe, before we let you get out of here, we're obviously here at Community America for a Red Friday tailgate. What is your new favorite KC Wolf of the international ones? I see the real one here. Which one do you like the best of the international KC Wolves?
Is there more than I saw the Irish one. Are there more?
Dude, there's like 5 or 6 of them.
Oh my, this is like, I didn't know that KC Wolf had like Pokemon regional forms now. This is the best day of my life. I thought it was awesome that there was an Irish KC Wolf that appeared to be like just a ginger KC Wolf. I was like, oh, okay, that's... Uh-huh. I didn't know what we were doing there.
There's one for Germany and all kinds of places. You're going to have to research this so we have an answer next week.
I'm going to have an answer right now. I'm looking at it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, hold on. Well, the pants of the Spanish one, I think, are probably the most powerful. There's some great character design here.
Yeah.
How on earth did I miss that there's an entire wolf pack now?
That's right. That's
KC
what they're calling
O-Wolf.
It.
KC Wolfington, KC Wolfgang, KC Labazo. I like KC Wolfgang a lot, too. This is powerful stuff.
Yeah, you now we got you, you're down a rabbit hole for the next hour, so you're
KC
welcome.
KC Wolfgang, and, they say, is as reliable as German engineering, is that their description.
Also, he's a great chef.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.